And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There is an intimacy in this. It's been said that modern warfare has become the art of killing from a distance, and that it was not always that way. Indeed, when the weapon was not a gun or a bomb, but a sword, it was up close and personal. Very often one soldier would look the other in the eye as he killed him. So it is with the soldiers at the cross, placing Jesus on the cross, driving the nails, setting everything in place. So it is as they demonstrate cruelty, mocking, gambling for the clothes of the crucified, overseeing the death, making sure it was done. And the Roman soldiers were used to the reactions of the victims. It's the world in which they lived. But this one was different. There's the closeness, the intimacy of the act, and that very closeness was met by the Jesus who we have watched through so many stories out of the Gospels with the pattern of look you in the eye and tell you what's in your soul. And there at the cross, what Jesus did took them aback, surprised and unnerved those soldiers. Face to face with Jesus, eyeball to eyeball with God, they hear, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. It's in the pattern of what has gone on in that journey to Golgotha. Jesus subjected to their mockery, spitting, the crown of thorns, and so on. But as all of that was happening, he actually was their king, and one day they would kneel before him. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. They are within his power. And he knows this. And he really is in charge of everything. And he has decided to be merciful to them and to call to them, to evangelize them. And they have absolutely no idea about any of this. But again, Jesus is the one who's in control. He is moving the events of the day, moving them toward the cross, toward the forgiveness of sins, the forgiveness of the very sins that the soldiers are committing. And things will go on until they're casting lots for his clothes, and he, the king, allows this to happen and chooses to stay there on the cross for mercy and for their forgiveness. And then the centurion, he sees how Jesus died and he does not know quite what to make of it. It doesn't fit. It's not right. And Luke reports as well that all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. What do they make of Jesus? Who is he? He's not held within anything that they have knowledge of. He is out of their control. He is the one who is in control. And what he does there, it enfolds both the soldiers and the crowds. Jesus continues to call into his kingdom each person along the way, no matter the situation, no matter the setting, no matter the background, personality, no matter the path that they are on in life, no matter what is it within your soul, no matter whether you are in the middle of trying to do what's right or letting loose the sin and evil that lurks deep within the soul. What Jesus does to those soldiers, he does to us. He interrupts, he comes face to face, he confronts us with the claim that he has on us, with the claims of the good shepherd over his sheep, with the claims of the one who knows every bit of what is within, the claims of the one who can take and change and lead our destiny along a completely different path into his kingdom and into eternal life, because he is the one who can change the world and rewrite everything and can refashion you and me and those soldiers from the inside out. That's what the soldiers are face to face with. And they have a dawning realization of that. How are they going to know how to handle this? Frankly, for us, Jesus is still a challenge, and we know him as our Savior. How are they going to know how to deal with him? But there he is, dealing with them, dealing with the soldiers, calling them, inviting them, not letting them escape the fact of his claim on them, so much that at the end of the hours there, this confession is pulled out of the mouth of the centurion. Certainly this man was innocent. Or in Matthew, it's reported as, truly this was the Son of God. You see, Jesus wins his kingdom right there in front of the soldiers, right there on Calvary, and then at the tomb and in front of, here I've got to pause, in front of other soldiers? Or were there some at the one place that were also at the other? King of kings, Lord of lords, conqueror of sin and death and hell. On Easter morning, there were soldiers guarding the tomb. Soldiers witnessing the things that happened there. And after they reported to the chief priests what had happened, somehow the word of it got to the disciples, and we find it written in Matthew 28. Indeed, the soldiers were being called by the Savior, called and invited to the kingdom of God. Because it is the same Savior who continues to call in our day, the same Savior who continues to gather into his kingdom, the same Savior who has spoken his word into our lives, the same Savior who has called us his own and called himself our good shepherd and our Savior.